Hi, my name is John. I'm a sinner. But God and I are working on that. And that's your story, your problem too. But in this fellowship with our friend Jesus, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. So you just come on in. We're walking together through the 12 steps. They're associated with Alcoholics Anonymous, but they really were a gift from the church, and now the church needs them back. And we're working these days on step 7, which is humbly asked him, God, to remove our shortcomings. And I want to focus today on that little word, ask. Invite you to do that, but take a look at what should my posture be around that word. There's a very long-standing debate, even amongst folks who would call themselves followers of Jesus, around this question: how much change should I expect to take place in my life? Am I really going to go very far into the kingdom, into life with God, or am I kind of stuck with the way that I am? Primarily, I just need to be realistic about it. We have two Labrador dogs, and somebody was explaining to us there's a couple of issues with labs, that if you have a lab, you wrestle with them, and can they ever change? And the explanation of their nature is this: chew till they're two, shed till they're dead. You get a lab, they're gonna chew. We have a lab who's in timeout right now because yesterday Cooper did a bad, bad thing. Baxter's much older than that now, so he's not doing that, but we cannot get him to stop shedding. There's severe limits. Dog has a nature. Now, human beings have a nature, and the question is, how much can that change? How much should we expect it to? So, a fellow by the name of Michael Austin writes about this in a book, but it has gone on for a long time. There are what might be called spiritual optimists, who believe that lots of change is possible together with God, even in this life, and spiritual pessimists who believe that, the reality is that our sin nature is pretty powerful and pretty strong, and we're hoping for heaven one day, but don't expect much change down here. Now, there are pros and cons with either one of these. With optimists, this would be associated sometimes with the followers of John Wesley, holiness movements. One problem here is that if I go too far in thinking that change is possible, I might claim more change for myself than I've actually experienced. I might get triumphalistic. I might get judgmental towards other people, put pressure on people to conform or try to look good on the outside so it appears that they're really changing. On the other hand, there are some real problems with pessimism. With pessimism, I can grow quite cynical about my spiritual life and quite content and complacent without experiencing very much growth at all, and actually just give up. There's kind of a death to this. Now, here's the invitation, I think, for you and me. We are invited to live with all the hope of the optimist, but at the same time with a deep sense of reality and entering into the truth about who I actually am and not claiming for myself more than I have. So deep hope, but deep humility. And I want to say this, that the promises of God are that we can enter into union with him, and that union with him will actually mean significant change in my own life, and the invitation is that for today. How much? I don't know. The Bible never says. But here's part of what Michael Austin writes. He's a philosopher at Eastern Kentucky University. I remember my shock several years ago when an influential person in Christian publishing told me that the virtue language in the New Testament is merely aspirational. That is, Christians should not really expect to make much, if any, significant moral progress in this life. And then he cites there was an essay piece in Christianity Today, of all places, several years ago, where the author compares spiritual life and progress to playing golf. He said even PGA golfers will tell you in any given round, maybe 2 shots out of 70 go really, really well. So he says life is that way. The sooner you come to grips with incessant failure, the more you can enjoy the game. But I'll tell you a secret. Addicts don't have the luxury of coming to grips with incessant failure. God has to give me the grace to change or I will die. And Austin goes on to write, this attitude, spiritual pessimism, not going to change much, don't try hard, just give it up, is alien to the New Testament writers who speak of being transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Of being a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, behold, new creation. Old is gone, new has come. A life that reflects the very character of God. It is also refuted by the experience of those who have been transformed by their union with Christ through his Spirit in his church. And I have seen that happen. It's also refuted by the fact that the world has been changed by followers of Jesus. This is not just about individual character and shortcoming. It starts there, but then it flows into the world. Followers of Jesus have played, continue to play important roles in expanding literacy, providing health care, abolishing slavery, fighting human trafficking, battling racism and misogyny, serving women in crisis pregnancies, encountering many other social injustices. Christians have failed in many ways. We could contribute more, much more to the common good. Nevertheless, the welfare of the world does depend on moral and spiritual growth, on ethical development. And the promise of God is that that is available to you. So we humbly ask, we're very serious about this. Oh God, oh God, oh, this is the great project of my life and your life, the pursuit of a character that makes union with Jesus possible and makes me useful in his world. And I want to give you one great tool today in service of that. It's from the Big Book. And it comes right when the Big Book is talking about pursuing these steps and recognizing that we're all kind of tempted to give up. And in the middle of that, Bill W. Writes what just seemed to me to be quite inspired promises. When you get to the end, it turns out there's 12 of them, like there are 12 steps, as Bill W. noted, like there are the 12 apostles. And they're often read at meetings. If you go to a recovery meeting and people hear them and they get inspired again. So here they are. These are the promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And this really happens. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, and it will. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. These are the promises that are available. I was talking to a woman when we were at an event in San Jose recently, and she'd been sober for 38 years. And she said, all of the promises, and this is what she was referred to, have come true for me, except one. I really, really want to get married, and I'm still looking for somebody. And she said, I'm rich and I'm single. Her name is available on written request. But I thought as I read through these about the promises that are made to us in the Bible, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Over and over, however many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. I was in a meeting one time and somebody stood up and read the 12 promises, starting with that first one. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. And this person said, so if I'm not yet amazed, perhaps it's because I'm not yet halfway through. Maybe we're not yet halfway through. There is good ahead. He promises. Humbly ask. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.